Amen and amen. Thank you, guys. Brilliant. Really great. Merry Christmas. What are you laughing for? Welcome to New Song Church. My name is Grant, and I have the privilege of being a pastor here. Today is a special day. Not to be repeated, never before entered into. And it's good that you guys are here this morning. It is a good place to be. We believe that God is present with us when we gather. And you are welcome here. We'd love to know that you were here if you're visiting with us today. We have a couple of cards in the seat backs. One is a Connect card. Just if you want to fill this in, and there's a box at the back of the worship center, and there's a box out in the foyer. You can pop that in there. In New Song Church, we believe in the centrality of prayer for everything that we do. I'm going to tell you about one of these prayer things in a minute, but for this morning, if you have something that you need prayer for, you would like us to be praying for, then please fill in one of these cards. You can put that in the same place in the box in the foyer out there, or the one at the back of the room, and we will be praying for you. Today is a special day. We have Soup Sunday today. Yay! People are getting really serious about Soup Sunday. Have you noticed? The stuff's getting like, my house last night smelt H-O-U-S-E, but it smelt really delicious because Rana was cooking something for today. So many great soups. So stick around afterwards. And there's something else happening after our gathering this morning in the other building, and it's called New Song Explored. You may have been around for a while, coming on Sundays, and you may have been here a while. We do have a membership process for New Song, which is, I kind of say it sometimes like, you know, we can have a loose affiliation with churches in general, or even one church in particular, but it's kind of like moving from dating to more of a covenant relationship, more of like a marriage, right? We say, this is where I think I'm supposed to be. This is where God wants me to use my gifts. This is where he's going to use me to encourage and perhaps even challenge the folks around me. You know, we are one body, and it's really important that we hold that with high regard and we protect the unity that we have. And this is just a way of doing that. It's a one-hour meeting. It used to be, I think it was like a six-year process before. I like simplicity, you know. So it's a one-hour meeting, and I think we should be able to say in 1 hour the essentials of what our church is about. We want to do things well that are simple. So it's if you want to participate in that, join me across in the other building, grab some soup, and about 15 minutes after our gathering ends, we will be over there for what we call New Song Explored. There is childcare, so if you came today with a kiddo, we'll have a place for your kid to be, and we'll do that together immediately afterwards. Secondly, this coming Wednesday, the 8th, there's a second of a chance to receive prayer individually with our pastors and elders, and it'll be in this building at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 8th. And really, it's kind of a replication of what we've done at Ash Wednesday, which is people can come and we just go through a very brief process of just considering where you are with God at that moment in your life. What is most in the forefront of your mind that you might want prayer for? And you'll just meet individually for 15 minutes with a pastor or an elder here in this room for a chance to be prayed for. That is this coming Wednesday, the 8th at 6:30 p.m. This also Wednesday, a lot of stuff going on Wednesday, there is a scavenger hunt. Anyone know what a scavenger hunt is? I have no idea. Are we searching for scavengers? I don't know what it is. But the youth student ministries folks are doing, middle school and high school, are going to the mall to do a scavenger hunt. We did that actually last year when I was kind of leading student ministries. We did a scavenger hunt, and it was a hilarious time running around the mall trying to find this list of things and take a picture of them. We did reveal that the mall has a great lack of security, unfortunately, because one of the things was take a picture with a security guard and no one could find one. So that's a bit concerning. Stephen, where's Stephen? Stephen is right at the back. If you're a middle schooler or a high schooler and you're unaware of this, there'll be emails coming out, come and talk to Stephen and he will be your guide for that this coming Wednesday. Mother's Day is next Sunday. You guys aware of that? Kids, husbands, you don't need to know about it. It's not your mother, unless you, you know, deal with your mother, you know? Your kids are responsible. Kids, you're responsible for Mother's Day, okay? You know, your dad's got his own mother, and, you know, he'll be doing that. But next week, we're doing Mad Lines and Mums. We like things to rhyme here, don't we? Right? Mad Lines and Mums is next week, and everyone's welcome to participate and come and join in with that. But we particularly want to celebrate the mums in our community. That is at 9:30 a.m. next Sunday. On the 19th, if you're unaware, we have a member meeting. It says member meeting, but it's not strictly for members. We would love if you're a member of New Song Church to attend, because we will be discussing our vision, our mission, and also the budget for the upcoming year. Our fiscal year is going to end at the end of June, and we've been working on a budget for the coming fiscal year. As you know, it's been a bit of a challenging time. I meet with quite a few pastors, and everyone's had a bit of a challenge with the economy and the pandemic, etc. But we believe in a God who provides for our needs, and he does that through this community. So it's something that we really want folks to come to, because it's a serious business. We want to talk about what it is that God in particular has us doing. And then this budget is simply a means of supporting what we believe he's calling us into. So that is on the 19th of May, immediately following our gathering. And again, there will be some childcare. There will also be some food. Yum, that's good. Always include food when you have a meeting. That was the first wisdom a pastor ever gave me. Just have food and it will all be okay. Correct? So those are the things for this morning. And I'm going to pray now. Will you join me in praying? Because we need it, don't we? Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you stepped into our world. And wow, what a radical way in which you came. Not what we expected. And Lord, you still come in unexpected ways into our lives. We celebrate the truth that you are God with us. But we see around our world there's a lot of places where it seems that you are absent. Such cruelty, such destruction, such hatred, such division. Lord, we pray for your people of peace around the world to have courage, to offer service and care. We thank you for the millions of folks who are people of peace who do just that. And for those who do that in your name, we pray for your close presence. We pray for all those who, through no decision of their own, have been thrown into pain, into loss, into grief. Lord, you say that you are close to the brokenhearted. We pray that you'd be close to all who suffer today. We pray for this nation. The divisions are obvious and they're amplified. May this community be a place where we find peace across the divides that the world says should matter. May we find in you, Lord Jesus, a place of peace, a place of unity, a place of connection and community. Lord, we pray for everyone in this room this morning who is carrying a heavy burden. And we hear again your words, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. May they find rest for their souls. We pray, Lord, for the other churches that are meeting this morning in our neighborhood and around this world, remembering the Lord's day when you rose and you defeated death and you offered us life. Bless them, Lord. May they share the good news of the gospel and the kingdom. We pray for all of our neighbors around here. Pray for the schools and the teachers and everyone as they go about their work this coming week, Lord. We lift them up to you and we pray that you would bless them. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your servant Melody who's coming up to share the good news this morning. And we pray that you would empower her, equip her, energize her, fill her with your love for you, Lord. And for this congregation gathered here, we are eager to hear from you this morning. And we pray that we would have open ears and open hearts to you as you enter in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Melody. Oh, and by the way,
I'm so impressed.
I'm so impressed.
I toned it down.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
You should have seen, no, I'm kidding, what she wanted to wear. No, it's like the Christmas.
I couldn't find my Christmas shoes. Come on. That's what I'll do. I'll get us matching Christmas shoes for Advent. I'm on it. Challenge me to do something. You watch. Well, good morning. How is everybody? Fine, great, yeah. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, right? Did you feel like you walked into the Twilight Zone, some of you, this morning? Did you? Let's get the full vibe for it. What is happening? Why is there Christmas stuff up? Why does Melody look like an elf? Right? Did you think that? Who knew we were doing this? Yeah? It's like this. It's like today in San Dimas, in the middle of the year, May 5th to be exact, a church seemed to have entered another dimension. Are you with me? Should I keep going? They were divided into two groups of people, the Christmas time traditionalists and the people who apparently have lost their mind. Today, we will discover what has caused this great divide. Right? Yeah. I thought that one through a little bit. But maybe you knew what we were doing today. Today, we are talking about something that, you know, generally we put a lot of emphasis on at Christmas time and during the Advent season. Maybe you thought that, you know, what is going on? We announced it last week, and I can see kind of a clear, you know, who's with me and who's not, okay? I see who you are. Maybe that can be a Christmas sermon. How much holly is too jolly, right? Maybe we can do that. What would Jesus do? Well, in my home, we are a house divided indeed. And by divided, I mean five people against me. Because, you know, I won't say I decorate as early as November 1st, but I decorate fairly early. And I don't know, I was thinking about this, like, is it because, like, is it a reaction? Maybe I should ask my therapist husband. Like, is it a reaction to my childhood? Because during growing up, we would decorate the weekend of Thanksgiving, right? Which is probably traditional for most people. But then it would stay up, like, super late into January. One year, it was my birthday, February 18th, and the decorations were still up. So now, as an adult, I like to decorate before Thanksgiving, but come January 1st, that stuff is in the box, and Chris is putting it in the attic or in the garage or wherever. So I don't know. Maybe it's like a childhood thing I have. I don't know. But why are we celebrating Christmas today? Now, this has nothing to do, okay? No judgment. Although I know who I'm inviting to my house November 1st for our Christmas music party. But this has nothing to do whether you dressed up today or not. But today we're going to talk about the glorious gift that we have been given. And like I said, we put a lot of emphasis around this around Christmas time. But, you know, more and more, and I'll share more about this at the end, I think that we often forget what an incredible gift it is to have a connection to God, and how we should be beyond excited and beyond amazed and on the edge of our seats every day because of what Christ has done for us, because of what we generally focus on at Christmas. We should really celebrate every day, yes? Yes? Yes, we should. And you might say that to me today. You might say yes and amen and nod your head. But, you know, we live life, right? And we forget, and sometimes we get numb to what the story really is, to what an amazing, stunning fact it is that God came to earth in the way he did, and in the most helpless of all beings. So I think we forget that. I once read a story I was reading an article, and it said that there was a Christmas pageant for children, like preschool children. And on the stage, as the manger scene was playing out, you know, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph and the wise man all on stage. Well, little Mary, little kindergarten Mary, goes to pick up the baby Jesus doll from the manger. And one of the shepherds cries out, "Congratulations, you had a God." Right? Like, true. Right? Very accurate. So I think that, you know, it was funny to read, but anyway, so today we are talking about this portion in the Apostles' Creed, which is what we're getting into today. So I'm going to read this to you. This is what we're talking about today. "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." And I'm going to pray right now. I know Grant prayed, but I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that in some way, everyone in this room, everyone listening online, and I know who you are if you're listening online, everyone say hi to my hairdresser, Jody. She's my favorite. She convinced me to go red last month. Anyway, people listen online, and I'm going to pray that when they hear this and when you hear it this morning, that you will be in some way amazed again this morning and that you will carry it with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray in this moment that your Spirit would be here, that you would fill this room and our hearts with your presence, with a sense of excitement, with a sense of joy, with a sense of just stunning amazement at what you did. I pray that in your name. Amen. So if you are just joining us in this series, I believe, we are looking at something called the Apostles' Creed and what the Apostles' Creed declares. And what we as followers of Christ believe in. So I am going to give you some fast facts about the Apostles' Creed that we have already learned. So students, do you have your piece of paper to follow along? Yeah? Okay, I have a special treat for students who fill it out accurately. Okay, don't just draw on the piece of paper. But follow along, and unlike Grant, right, what did Grant say about his parenting techniques last week? He said he's a yes guy, yeah? Well, I'm a no mom. You do not get the answers from me today. You have to follow along. I'm not always a no mom. My creed in my home, right, we talked about creeds, is my answer will always be yes. Unless it's no, then it is no, and don't ask me again. That's it. That's the rule you have to remember. That's it. Okay, so here are some fast facts about the creed that we have learned so far. What is a creed? A creed comes from the word in Latin, credo, and this means I believe. I believe, and that's why this sermon series is called I Believe. And this creed is a common set of common beliefs, common Christian beliefs, and it's regarding convictions about the story of God, convictions about the story of redemption. So, the word creed comes from credo, which means I believe. The creed is a set of beliefs, and it is about God and the big story. Are you guys following along? Are you filling in the blanks? Yeah. Okay, the creed is very old. The creed is very old. It can be traced back to the 4th century, maybe even earlier than that. And we are in the 21st century. So how many centuries ago? A lot. No one does math here? 21 minus 4? 17. A century is? 100 years. So 100 times 17 is? You guys are like, don't, this too much, Sunday morning. 1,700 years ago, thank you. So it is very old, very old. And this creed is very brief. It is very brief, it is concise, and it is to the point. And this is probably my favorite part about it, because I like brief, I like concise, and I like to the point. And I especially love it on a Sunday like today when we have amazing soups waiting for us to consume them. So let's get to it, yeah? Grant, last week, he spoke on these lines. He spoke on, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." And today, as I mentioned, we're going to look at this portion of the creed. Let's read it together. "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." Now, let's get right to the point. What are these lines saying? So the first line says, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." So right away, this is saying that we believe in the name Jesus. And the meaning of the name Jesus means God saves. God saves. And if you're familiar with this story, you can understand, and we'll talk about it in a second, but basically, Jesus was God's promise to humanity. Now, if you're familiar with the story where God created man and woman, right, Adam and Eve, you might be familiar that they lived in God's presence. They lived in God's presence. And you might be familiar with the fact that, you know, God created man and woman, and about a second later, what do? They sinned. Now, whether that was immediate, whether that was a few years, several years, couple days, right, that's all something we're not going to cover today. But basically, God created man, they sinned against God, so then they were separated by sin. So since the very beginning of time, since the very existence of man, humanity was going to need someone to save them. Something to restore their connection to God. And here's what I think is probably the coolest part about this story, is that as he is speaking to Eve, as he's kind of mad at her, and he's giving her a consequence, right, for her actions, God is also giving a promise of hope. When he said to the serpent, the enemy, the promise of her offspring, one of Eve's offspring, right, will strike the enemy down. So the promise and the plan of Jesus goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. So Genesis 1, everything begins. Genesis 3, the plan and the promise is already in place. Isn't that incredible? So the Old Testament continues for many, many more books, and there are more prophecies and more promises that there would be a Savior to reestablish this connection to God. In Jeremiah, it says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Malachi, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And Isaiah, you probably hear this verse quite a bit. "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Read this with me. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These were just a few of the promises that I put on the screen this morning. Jesus was a promise that God saves. Now, I did mention this around Christmas time this last year. I said, you know, from the time that these promises were spoken in the Old Testament to when the New Testament picks up, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years have passed. Hundreds of years have passed. So what a promise to hold on to. What a weight to hold on to. What a weight to be endured. And that leads us to the very next line in the creed this morning. "Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." He was a miracle. He was a miracle. Now, We are in mixed company this morning. It's Community Sunday. We have all sorts of students and little people in the room, yeah? Okay? I'm not privy to family conversations, what has been discussed, what has not been discussed. You following me, or do I have to wink again? So I'm not going to go into all the technicalities and all the details here, but I will say that if you want more conversation about the technicalities and the details, and you want some research, and you want to know more about this, you can reach out to me or Grant, and we will connect with you on that. Yeah? Okay? If anyone's wondering why I'm doing that, I have dry eyes, okay? That's why I'm winking. This is a true story. So Jesus was conceived and brought into this world through a miracle. And in these lines, we declare that we believe this miracle. And I know some folks who really struggle with this concept. Some folks don't say it when they read this creed. Some folks cross their fingers, you know, because they're like, I don't know, just in case, right? But, you know, what's crazy to me about that is that out of all the insane miracles that happen in the Bible, right, this is the one that's difficult to understand. Okay, so, you know, he parted the Red Sea like he parted a sea. They walked along the sea floor. That's in Exodus. Bread fell from the sky. Have you ever seen that happen? No, that is a miracle. The mighty walls of Jericho, right? This fortress came tumbling down at the sound of trumpets. Like, there's miracle after miracle. The scripture references are on the screen if you want to read it on your own. But there's miracles before, during, and after Jesus came. So in true God form, he did another miracle by bringing Jesus into the world the way he did through a miracle. So let's read. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So talk about a miracle, a surprise pregnancy, right? And we talk about this sometimes. You know, Mary, who knows all the things, right? It's not all recorded, but who knows? It says she was disturbed and confused, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. So this is quite a surprise. My first pregnancy was quite a surprise. I thought I had a stomach bug. And there she is, she's 16 years old, working in the kids' room this morning. You know, actually, the twins I thought was a stomach bug too. That was a double stomach bug. You know, it can be quite a shock when you're not expecting something like that. I can't imagine Mary knowing what kind of message she received. All the thoughts that were going over and over in her head. This miracle was fully God. And this is where the two lines meet in our creed and what we say today. We say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. The miracle was fully God, that was fully God, resulted in this. In John 1, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is fully human and fully God. And we say that a lot in here, and we do this around Christmas time. I'm going to have the band come up. What'd I say? Clear, concise, to the point. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen's with me. To the point. There's soup waiting, people. Okay? But Jesus was fully human and fully God, and he was a man. He was a man who was God. And I think that's amazing. That's stunning, would you say? He is the man and the and God who gave sight to a blind man. He was a man and God who demons fled from. He was a man and God and reached out to people who were outcasts, and he called them friends and he invited them in. He was a man and God who made time for children, stops and talks to them. A man and God who performed miracles. He was a man and God who came to this earth, made himself a servant. He got down on his knees, as Grant did last time. And he said he got down on his knees to talk to children, to wash people's dirty feet. He was a man and God who did all these things and entered our humanity for you and me. He entered our humanity because of what? Because of a promise and through a miracle that goes all the way back to the first few chapters of the Bible. And why did he do that? Because he wanted a connection with us now and forever. He wanted us to feel love. He wanted us to feel comfort. He wanted us to feel peace and joy. Do those words sound familiar? Let's imagine there's the Advent candle I'm lighting here. Do those words sound familiar? He wanted us to feel peace and joy and love. He wanted us to feel all those things. It's not just for Christmas time that we remember these beautiful words. Through Jesus, through the miracle, and because of the promise, we have this stunning, stunning gift. Jesus is the messenger and the message at the same time. He's at the same time. And when we say, I believe, when we say, I believe, we're saying that we believe these things to be true. It's not I think. It's not I feel. It's I believe. I believe. The creed is really full of things we cannot verify for ourselves, right? It is, but in what verse am I at, Electra? The next verse, I'm sorry. I don't know where I'm at. In Corinthians, it says, but as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. It's not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, this is Paul talking, was not yes and no, but in him has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God made, they are yes in Christ. Now listen to this. And so through the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ, in Jesus. He anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That's another promise. Yes? That's another promise. The human God then turned to his very good friend while he was on earth here. He said in Matthew, who do you say I am? He asked the very person who walked this earth with him. And Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. could Peter go back to Mary? Prove it really? He said, yes. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Is that not stunning news? Is that not exciting? Does that not want to make you get up off your seat? Let's sing this morning, and I'll be back up to do communion, but let's sing and just have our hearts really feel the incredible gift that we have because of this promise and through this miracle that is fully God and fully human. Let's celebrate what he's done for us. Amen? Can you stand if you can, and we'll sing this together. An amazing gift that is available to all of us. And I'm going to stay in my lane, as Grant and I tell each other all the time, because he didn't come just to dwell among us, but he came for a very, very, very specific purpose. And that was to establish the connection so that we could be reconnected with God. And what, you know, what we said earlier, he didn't go to the elite. He didn't go to the royal. He didn't go to the, you know, straight to the churches. Where did he go? He went to the streets. He went to his neighbors. He went to his friends. And I think sometimes too, that's what's kind of the struggle with saying, oh, all these wonderful things in the creed, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy. And I know that God doesn't ask me to be worthy. He asked me to be connected to him. And there's so many things that we can put in front of us, and excuses, and I'll wait till this, or I'll do it then, and no, God said, Jesus says, come now. Come to the table. I have set a place for you. Come and drink with me. Come and eat with me now, today. So we'll invite you to the table at your own time. We'll be in the back here and hold it until we take it together. God's plan for us, broken by sin, but God's plan for us, redemption, connection, restoration. It was a promise. It was a miracle. We declare that we believe that this morning. As I just mentioned, we kind of live ourselves in these two pictures, right? In this place. But God says, come, take the bread with me. This is my body. This was my plan. This is me for you. Of a promise and through a miracle, he spilled his blood for us. Let's take the cup. We're going to sing a song now that says, come, all you unfaithful. Again, I think it's a song that can live in this picture. Come, all you broken. Come, you barren. Come, all you unfaithful. Come. You are called here. I want you here. You belong here.